When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
Well, it kind of feels like the football season has been over here with the record of both these teams, but this is a huge football Sunday coming our way. Great magnitude, BT, for both teams, starting with your Jets. We'll get to the Giants in a little bit, but starting with the Jets because they have a chance to still, even the outside looking in, be a postseason team. My issue is I can't unsee all the bad that I've seen. I know there's reason for hope. I think this is a bad matchup for the Jets in Arizona on Sunday.
It could be. What Arizona does really well running the football, the Jets have not proven to be really even remotely competent with at this point. That's got to change, but you know, sometimes you just get lucky, like where you just don't do your job, and because others aren't doing their job well enough, what you're not doing is maybe not as, you know, it does, the light doesn't shine as brightly on it. I don't know if I've ever done this, but I'm going to take you on a little ride here because I think this is so important. I think the Jets have a chance to get to the playoffs. I've said that. Mm-hmm. I said that going into the Texans game. Now,
and I don't think you're nuts.
I don't think I am either, just based on the math, based on the numbers.
But going into each of the last years, no, I'm saying like going into each of the last years, I'm like, I don't know, dial it back, big guy, or even this year, like, 12 wins, whatever. But I don't think that what you're saying now to finish 6-2, would it be?
6-2, they'd have 9 wins, and obviously 7-1.
Yeah, okay.
If they go 7-1, which I think is probably more in the 6-2 neighborhood, they would finish up with 9 wins. And at that point, if they come out and the first half against the Cardinals represents the first half against the Texans, they will lose the game and this conversation will be over. But, because they will lose. But if they come out and their game against the Cardinals is more closely resembling the second half against the Texans, which I'm kind of certainly hoping and somewhat even expecting, I think they're going to hit some stride here. Look at the teams above them. So right now the Jets, and before the Texans game, they were in 15th place, only ahead of the Titans, who they beat. So with the win, they went from 15 to 10. All right, still got work to do. I understand that. And it seems almost crazy to be sitting here with 3 wins in the middle of November, basically, and say that the Jets could get to the playoffs. But when you look ahead of them, what happened last night? Now, they got lucky last night. The refs were awful. The coaching was crazy. So by the Bengals losing, barely, to the Ravens, Cincinnati is ahead of the Jets in the 9th spot at 4-6. Okay? Then you look at the Colts. Well, what are the Colts doing? The Colts right now are one slot away from being the final wild card team. First of all, the Colts are playing the Bills this weekend, and the Jets and the Colts play in week 11 at home. Then you say, all right, well, who's occupying the final slot? It's the Denver Broncos. Now, the problem with this, I know, they've got the tiebreaker in favor of Denver. Denver's 5-4. Now, who are they playing this weekend? They're playing Kansas City. I look at Denver, and I'm not going to do that because that's a little bit too much of the minutia. I'll just highlight for you. They haven't played Kansas City yet. So They have not. They've got to play the Chargers again. And even if they play average teams that they'll be favored to, I do not think Denver is beyond, you know, stumbling a game or two. Like I said yesterday, they've got 8 games to go. I actually think they're going to go 3-5.
Yeah, they could be going the wrong way, Denver.
For
and
sure.
I'm a believer in Denver and pick their over total for the year, but I could see that Denver could start going the other way. Like, I'm not a big believer in them long term.
Neither am I, and neither am the Colts. No. Now, if the Bengals would have played better early in the
Colts,
year.
No way. I'm with you.
So you're with me. You don't think this sounds nuts?
Well, no. Not at all. As far as the way you're painting the picture for the Jets to realistically be a playoff team, all that makes sense. Like, the Bengals would worry me. I know they lost last night, but they're
talented.
I mean, they could have easily won that game.
I agree.
And they should have won that game. So the Bengals would worry me, but I guess you got to have a South representative. I was going to say the Texans aren't very good. The Jets obviously beat them. But yes, anyway, to your point, I don't think it's unrealistic to sit here and dream before this must-win Sunday that the Jets could be a playoff team. However, when you get down to it, forget about the other teams.
Yep.
To them, that's my issue. So as far as the path in the AFC, yes, it's possible. My biggest issue is I just don't trust them.
I get that. I do. And now that's where it's tougher for me to push back because I don't really fully trust them. Like this inspiration or this belief that they can make a run, ironically, is almost more about the situation than them.
Right, the schedule, the situation with the teams
in front
them.
Of them, they're vulnerable. It's not
But this week, BT.
Got to win this game.
Well, but it's going to have to be about them. Because initially you may look at it and be like, the Cardinals.
No. Cardinals are tough.
And especially the fact that they run the football.
Yeah.
And that has been, like, the Jets defense, and I've said this all along, and now it's going to come to a head here. To me, what was going to be the separator for the New York Jets season was their defense. If it was going to be a top 5, top 3, maybe even top defense in the league, that is how they were going to separate themselves from the pack in the AFC. Because offensively, even if they were good, they were never going to be as good, in my mind, as the better teams in the AFC. Whether it's the Ravens, whether it's the Bengals, whether it's the Chiefs or the Bills, whatever. And I know those teams have their own flaws, but talking about just offensively. And the Jets clearly aren't on that level. But the defense would have been separating them. To me, they cannot win this game if their defense does not show up and specifically stop the run. And they're just a bad tackling team.
They don't wrap up.
Yeah, well, so then why would I think that it's going to change the landscape? Yes. The competition? Yes. The schedule and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad matchup for them.
Well, it's a bad matchup if the Cardinals seize control of the game early. Like if the Jets, and they really haven't been able to do this very often, if the Jets can jump on the Cards, and I don't mean 21-0, but 14-7, and just squeeze 7-0, 7-3. Now suddenly not that they're going to be pass dependent if you're down 4 points or one score. I understand that, but the more the Jets have the lead, I think that the less the Cardinals will be inclined to run. And hey, listen, Sal's point is on the money with one thing: Jets defense, sack up, sack up. There's no way to say sack up because you know that they're coming out and they run to the tune of 150 yards a game. They run, and one of the Jets then, first of all, their running back is good, and their quarterback can run. And the Jets, whether it's Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, cut them up for a big first down in the Patriots game. Every game, the Jets have shown an inability to stop the quarterback from getting loose. Now, it's double-edged sword here because of what I just said with Murray and with Connor as a really good running back. But you know what they're trying to do. It's not like complex or, this elaborate crazy scheme with all this mix and match and motion and 35 shots downfield. They're coming to shove it down your throat. Your season's hanging by a thread. They're going to look to run it 30-plus times. Strap on your helmet. Tackle and play defense.
Right.
And if they do, I think they can easily win this game.
Agreed.
Because they're going to score on that team.
But that's a major if. I don't, like, based on outside of hope and maybe what we thought might be the case going into the year about this defense, based on everything that we've seen so far through 9 weeks, how could you say that you think that it's going to happen? Like, I'm not saying it can't. Obviously, things can change, sure. But man, that's why I say it's a bad matchup because I don't think the Jets have that toughness in them.
Yeah.
I think they're soft as a defense. They've been proven to be bad tackling team. They've been proven to not be good against the run. They're not going to, like, Arizona's not going to beat you through the air. They can make plays
through the air,
but they're not going to beat you through the air. The Jets need to bring their lunch pail, go to work, play a physical, tough defensive game, stop the run, and they should be in great shape. I just don't think they could do it.
Again, Sal, this is where you could be right. You know, I was doing this on the pod the other night, right? And it's weird because where the Jets are, like they were, and this is a strange place to be. They were, I started with the Mike Williams trade. That's how I just wanted to get that out of the way. The Jets were one more loss away from maybe being sellers, honestly. Whether it's DJ, and I love DJ Reed, but contract's up, and people were already calling. So,
right, if they lost to the Texans, we weren't even talking about them today.
Yes, but I think that they would have made some trades. I really do, before the deadline the other day, right? So that was with one more loss. With one more win, and pick any of the six losses, they could have won and on some level should, outside of the Niners game, won pretty much every single one of them. If they had more win, they very well may have been buyers. So this is a very weird spot for the Jets, because you couldn't go all in because you got three wins. You can't go all out because you're all in with Rodgers and all the other things that they've done with Devontae Adams and Tyron Smith. This has been a weird season, and they've got a chance to, I don't even want to say shut up a lot of people, but really just gain some respect back. Like, it's really not over. And you know, I was talking to some people last night. I had a great Verizon event. It was awesome last night. A lot of Jet fans, right? Including my guy Chris. And, like, I don't want to say that they owe us. They owe themselves. They owe themselves a chance to complete this. And I know that it seems like such an arduous task when you say, well, you got to win this game and then win the next game and then find a way to beat Miami once or twice and then the Rams. And then forget about that. Win this game. What's happening in front of you has been all good. They've been given favors. Win.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they do win this game, and this is like the last, obviously they're going to have to go out there and win more on top of this, but this is the last real big hurdle, because I feel like off of what they did in the second half against the Texans, if they can put together a good performance here and start to change the feel, change the momentum, change the perception, or change the reality of what they have been, and beat Arizona and do it in a physical way, which I don't think they could beat them without doing that. Now you get the Colts at home. It's a soft landing spot. Those are the Colts. Then you got the Seahawks.
Then you have a bye before the Seattle game at home.
Right.
After the Colts.
So even more.
Rest up.
But the point is, two games in a row at home against teams that they should beat. And now all of a sudden you're looking at a team that could be 6-6.
Here. I know. Trust me, I know.
It's all right there for the Jets. Now, it's still going to be tough with the Bengals. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge probably to beat them out for that seventh spot, because I think the Bengals are just better. But point is, it's still, the season can still be on. They're not dead yet. So there is legit reason. There is a path. I just don't think they're going to get past Arizona this week. I think Arizona's better than a lot of people think. And I think they do well what is a big weakness for the Jets, running at that big, bad defense that talks a big game. I just don't. I think it's a bad matchup, and I think the Jets end up losing this game. And it'll be nobody's fault but their own fault.
That's true.
And it will be the defense, not Aaron Rodgers, the offense. I know they haven't been great, but that's not the biggest problem. The defense is far under-delivered what it was supposed to be.
And they've got a chance to, you know, somehow get back some wins that a kicker who's no longer with them, you know, flushed down the chute if Zuerlein would have done his job. Now, you know, a lot of people say it's never one play that loses you a game at a team sport. I don't know if I really agree with it pertaining to this Jets season. Sure, I could go back to the games they lost where Zuerlein messed up and say, well, if this guy didn't commit a penalty on 3rd and 6 and they would have punted it, instead they scored a touchdown. I get that. Like, you can do that game all day. But quite literally, because their kicker was atrocious, they're sitting in this position. They've got a chance to really, you know, to do something here. Did you see enough from Rodgers in the second half? Because to me, what encourages me is the, I don't want to say the newfound ability, but the trust in his legs.
Yes.
He started to run a little bit.
Put it this way, though. I do trust Rodgers 100%. I know he hasn't been great, but I think the ripping of Rodgers, like, he's not the MVP-level Aaron Rodgers. He's still far better than anything we've seen here and still more than good enough to get a team to the postseason. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to overcome the lack of toughness on the defense, the amount of mistakes that this team still makes, whether it's the stupid penalties, Corley dropping the football before the end. Like, they just do stupid thing after the drop passes, all that stuff. You could hope that it's starting to come together. And I do think offensively, like, Garrett Wilson is a stud and needs to be better, but he's starting to, you know, really show himself after Thursday night game against the Texans. He looked great. Obviously, the great catch. Devontae Adams starting to feel more comfortable here. They should have enough offensively, and I do believe in Aaron Rodgers. Will it be enough to overcome poor defense? I mean, now you have to play at a really high level to make that the case. And that's where my issue is. I do believe in the offense, and I do believe there's reason to believe, more than hope, that they will start to get better and more consistent. I just don't trust that defense.
Now, to inject some possible reality into the situation here.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to do this with a guy who's probably not even a head coach.
Well, that's another major issue. Matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking it and just didn't say it. I'd feel better about them going to this game with Robert Saleh. And then think about that. I'm the one who was saying he's the worst head coach in the league for a year and a half, whatever it's been. But their defense is the key. And defensively, while I know Olbrich's a defensive coordinator, they've gotten worse since they fired Saleh defensively.
I agree. I do agree with that. Where do you think the Jet fan's at right now?
I think the Jet fan is...
taking the bait?
No. I think the Jet fan will need to be awoken with a win. I think they're beaten down. Even with the win on Thursday, it's like, yeah, that's great. Go beat Arizona, and then the awakening will come.
I don't know if I agree with that, only because of the standings. Now, there's a difference between full throttle, let's book a parade, versus coming off a win, getting 10 days rest, which the Jets have never had. You know, can I say one other thing? This is not an excuse, right? But I was looking at the Jets. I don't think I've ever looked at a schedule or standings in any season as much. Every day I look at these things. But I really noticed about the Jets schedule. And when it first came out, I was excited. I'd be lying if I said otherwise, because the Jets are so rarely of a national profile that when they get these games, I think Jet fans know what I mean. It's like, okay, you feel a little relevant here. You feel like this, you matter.
Yeah.
And the way it went down last year with Rodgers in week one, the NFL decided to double down, and they've yet to be rewarded. They're 0-2.
Right, even to a point where they get flexed out of a Sunday night
game. Correct. That's true. But I looked at the schedule, and all right, you want to start 3,000 miles away against San Francisco, who was supposed to be better. Not a big deal. It's a high-profile matchup. Whatever. But so many times, then the London trip, and now the Jets could have softened this by having the bye after they elected not to. But do you realize the Jets have had, between the London game and multiple short weeks, I mean, the amount of football that they played in, thus far what's been a 9-game season,
right,
is by far more than anybody in the NFL. And that's not an excuse. I don't know if they lost a few games because of injuries or they were tired or a combination of things. But now it's the exact opposite. Now they get 10 days, and now they're going to be more well-read. Then you got the bye coming in after the Colts game. Now, it very well might be too late, but if it's not, and if they can win this game against the Cardinals, I actually think if they win this game, I believe they're going to be a playoff team. I actually think they're going
to
do it.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We'll get to the Giants coming up in a little bit as well. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Sean is in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Morning, boys. How we doing?
Great. What's up?
What's up, Shawnee?
I think, Sal, I don't think you're giving the defense enough credit just as far as the way they performed in the second half of these games. You know, I mean, I think holding the quarterback's QBR, like, under 60, I mean, besides Brissett and the breakdown in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense, and Mosley hasn't played in a couple weeks. Yeah,
besides Brissett, who is a backup quarterback on one of the worst teams in the league, driving the football the length of the field to beat them in a game, besides that... And then look at what they've done against the Texans, where, I'm not even trusting what happened with Houston, who's been banged up with an offensive line. Besides that, you want to go to the Monday night game against the San Francisco 49ers, where they got run over. I mean, how many more reference points do we need to give you? Besides that, I'm supposed to look at the QBR rating to give them some credit. How about the missed tackling, Sean? What about the missed tackling?
I agree, but like the defense hasn't been full strength either. You got Reddick Becker, you got Mosley, who's an all-pro linebacker.
Yeah, hold on a sec, Sean. Now, I'm a little bit more with Sal on this here. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. I think that if you're going to start throwing QBR out there, which, I'm not really throwing it out there, but it is a stat. You want to reference it. I'm not mad at you here. But understand this. Through 9 games, the Jets have played the Patriots twice, who have a rough time getting a first down if you spot them 7.5 yards. So the numbers are going to be a little jaded in terms of the amount of points the Jets have given up per game, which, by the way, is 4th best in the NFL. Oh, they give up 19.4. It's just below 20. So you can lean on one of two things. You can lean on the stats, and which Sean appears more willing to do, or you can kind of gravitate more so like what we're doing, and it's called the eye test, where Sauce whiffing. Yeah. I see too many guys getting trucked and getting run over and being sloppy tacklers, and maybe even more than sloppy, almost unwilling tacklers.
That's a problem.
I agree with that.
A defense that misses tackles that is as hyped and talked about as the Jets, and with the names that the Jets have there, that's embarrassing. And by the way, get all the QBR ratings that you want. Look at Brissett, a backup quarterback driving the length of the field to score a touchdown to beat you in a game that all but ended your season. Like, imagine if they just won that game, which they should have won 10 times over.
And who got burned on the big play? It was Sauce.
Oh, shocker.
It was Sauce.
Rob is in Westchester. What's up, Rob?
Guys, just bear with me for 1 second, please. About 10 days ago, you lose to the Patriots, and it's sell the whole team, bench Rodgers, epic failure of an experiment. Now, a week later, you beat the Texans with, mind you, no wide receivers whatsoever, no Diggs, no Collins.
Yep.
And I got to listen to playoff scenarios from you
guys.
You
don't have to listen to anything, Rob. You don't have to listen.
Oh, no, you do. I mean, you have to listen. You really? Don't like it. We do want you to listen.
So, no, I do.
I love you guys, but this is ridiculous.
So, Rob, let me ask you this, Rob. All right, so hold on. So, I'm going to let you be the host. All right? Hold on. You're hosting. And hold on, Rob. You're the host. Rob, relax. You.
I'm listening.
Okay, are you sure? What would you say about the Jets?
I'm sorry?
What would you say about the... We got to say something. And by the way, I believe what I'm saying, and so does he. What would you say about the Jets?
I would say the Jets aren't going anywhere.
Okay,
the same way we all said that a week ago. You beat a team with no wide receivers. The kid had nobody to play.
Right, but Rob, here's the difference. And I understand what you're saying, Rob, and thank you for the call. And I don't think they're going anywhere either. But to say that there's not a path for the Jets, to me, is unrealistic. I didn't think they were going to be any good coming into the year. I said that, or at least as good as everybody thought. So I'm being consistent with this. However, I don't think it's crazy. It is, a matter of fact, factually realistic to think that the Jets could find themselves. And by the way, I don't think it's going to happen. But you can't tell me it's not real. What's the spread in this game?
It's one.
Okay, so this is a pick'em game.
It went to a pick'em.
Okay, it's a pick'em, whatever. Right, a pick'em game, which means that the Jets could win this game. If they did, I don't think they will, but if they did, they get to 4-6. Then they have two games at home with a bye week sandwich in between. The Colts, do you think they're going to be favored in that game?
Yeah, 100%.
And then the Seahawks, do you think they're going to be favored?
Favored.
Okay, so we're talking about, Rob, and I get what you're saying, Rob. Like, it's not, you could have your opinion, you're entitled to it. I agree with you that I don't think the Jets are going to go to the postseason. However, realistically, when you look at where they're at, the landscape of the AFC, what they did in the second half against a good Texans team, who was Texans 6-3, they beat them. I mean, whether you like how they looked in the first half or not, they beat the Texans. There's reason to believe, not just hope, that they could win the next three in a row and find themselves at 6-6. And then would you be talking playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
So we may be ahead of the curve. The season is not over. We're not talking playoffs with the Giants because the Giants are dead. We'll talk something else with the Giants in a little bit. But it is realistic to talk playoffs with the maybe not talking playoffs just yet, but a path to the playoffs.
And listen, Rob, again, I understand why you don't really think that it's very plausible. That's fine. I respect that. And listen, I do appreciate the back and forth. I'm not trying to shout you down, but it's not like we're throwing something out here that is completely wacky. Now, if they had to go to Arrowhead next week or they had to go, whatever. Like, there's a lot of layers here. First of all, they played a very, and I know that the Texans were banged up. They had no Diggs. They had no Nico Collins. Their offensive line gives up the most sacks in football. Their left tackle has the most penalties in the NFL, and that same offensive line gives up is tied for second most pressure allowed by quarterbacks. So yeah, the circumstances were there for the Jets to squeeze out a win, and they did. Nobody's booking parade plans yet, but you got to react to what you see. And at some point, you've got to at least. Well, this is our job. You know, you look at what you've seen so far, and then you formulate an opinion based on what you anticipate possibly happening, and that's where we're at. Now, if the Jets were in the same 10th slot, which they are right now, but they were three games behind the ninth seed, we're not talking that. We're talking Juan Soto to start the show. But this is very realistic. Maybe not for you. I get it. That's fine. But the Jets aren't dead yet, and anybody that refutes that, and I very rarely tell anybody that they're wrong, you are wrong, right? Because they are mathematically alive. I want to know, Rob, when people started calling the station about the Mets, and I'll be honest with you.
We said it. We had them dead, both of us.
And I was among the last of the party. But there were other people who were more optimistic, who kind of looked at the standings, looked at the schedule, and said, hey, maybe the Mets, I don't mean when they were 22-33. I mean a little bit beyond that, where like, hey, maybe the Mets could piece something together. Did it sound crazy then? It probably did. Guess what? Mets made the playoffs.
And this is not as crazy. And Boyle, give me the fact that you just told me here this is about last year with playoff teams.
Just in the last 5 years, Commanders in 2020, Jags in 22, teams that started 2-6 and made the playoffs.
Right, and the Jets here are 3-6. Now again,
talk to me, Patty.
Now, I don't think, give me fuel, baby.
Give me fuel.
By the way, BT coming up. You know, if they do win these three games, then it's going to be a different story going to Miami. Whatever it may be.
Could you imagine if they win four in a row?
You know me with the Jets. Like, it's not unrealistic to think that this team could win three straight. They're not done yet.
Nope.
They're not done yet. Now, if they lose Sunday, they're done. They're toast, which I think they will. Yeah. Will you stop? All right.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT, it's Al back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. You know, it's also a big Sunday, BT, for different reasons. And you touched on this yesterday at the end of the show, and I think it's important to bring up now. You know, obviously we know about the Jets, and they have to win to keep playoff hopes alive. As slim as it may be, it is still realistic that the Jets can be a playoff team this year. We went over it. I don't think that they will win this game, but if they do, there's a path where they could get themselves to 6-6, and then who the hell knows what could happen the rest of the way. As for the Giants, the reason why this is an enormous football Sunday, they can't lose this game. You know me. I've been backing Dable and a little less Shane, but needing to see Shane. And the owner went out and said he doesn't anticipate any changes. If they go to Germany and lose to the Panthers, who are the worst team in football, been trading pieces away, like the Panthers are giving up on the season. I know they won a game a week ago, fine, against New Orleans. Look, hey, it can't happen. This is a game. Like, we've made enough excuses, or at least I have, for the Giants. Well, they're close here. They were close there. Competitive, good game planning, bad luck, 2-7. 2-7 is 2-7. They have to win this game. If not, then I think for the first time I'd finally agree with you and be like, yeah, anything's on the table here, and these guys, I don't know. I don't know how you could justify bringing Dable back. If they don't, I'm not saying we'll be right or wrong, but Mike, they got to win this game. I think they will, but they have to win this game Sunday morning.
This represents an interesting shift for you because you have been dug in pro-Dable. Not that I'm anti-Dable, but right. You have been maybe more looking for the positives for whatever reason. I mean, you believe in them. That's the main reason.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, John Mara, we know he's embarrassed by, what do you call him, Macca?
McAdoofus, Shermer.
You never had a nickname for Shermer, though, right?
Yeah,
I got you. It wasn't worth it. McAdoofus, Shermer.
Doesn't roll the tongue like McAdoofus.
That is true. Although you're pretty good with those wordplay, so I'm surprised you didn't come up with something for Shermer. Joe Judge, who talked himself out of a job, he does not want to have to move on from these men, especially because I do believe that he believes in this duo more than the other coaches and the previous GM duo. I really do believe that.
With legitimate reason, by the way. This regime did get them to the postseason.
Well, so did McAdoo.
Yeah.
The Packers game. So did McAdoo.
I mean, I
to guess, be fair.
But they gave him, how many years was McAdoofus here for?
Didn't he make less than two, right?
Mm.
It definitely wasn't three.
And by the way, McAdoofus was supposed to be the offensive genius, and the reason why they went to the postseason is because of the defense that year. But yeah, I mean, I guess you're right.
Either way, it wasn't working out, and who knows what was going on behind the scenes. But when he spoke at the Paley Center, I circled the word anticipate for a reason. Even though I'm in this, I don't consider myself a journalist necessarily. I definitely don't. More of an opinionist and who adheres to journalistic qualities and that I studied in school, but I'm not here to break news or I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. But I did circle that word because to me that was very important for journalistic integrity for me to convey my point that day. And yeah, he doesn't want to make any changes. He doesn't anticipate making any changes. But this is the game, one of the games and moments that I circled where that was his ability, if it comes to it, I hope it doesn't, to wiggle off the hook. Say if he does make a move at the end of the season. John, you said that you didn't anticipate any changes. I didn't anticipate any changes until this happened, which forced me to whatever. They can't lose. They can't lose. And you say they won't. I'm not so sure that they won't lose.
I don't now. Again, I've been wrong with the Giants almost all year long, but I do believe they're going to win this game, and I think they're going to win it convincingly. Okay, so let's say they can't lose, right? We know the danger that could happen if they do lose. If they win, are you ready to say, okay, well, that's enough now? Like they beat the Panthers and they shouldn't be on the hot seat?
No, I'm not.
See, for me, I don't think they should be on the hot seat, period. But if they lose this game, then I think maybe they should. If they win this game, then I think any of the talk of him getting fired should go away. Like, to me, that would be, as long as they win this game, you can't get embarrassed and lose at home to the lose in Germany to the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I mean, I got a question for you. So, as Duggan as you've been for supporting these guys, and again, more Dable than Shane, but you believe in Shane too, right? But maybe
I need to see more of it. I don't think you could properly evaluate a general manager in 2.5 years.
I tend to agree. I mean, look at Joe Douglas, where people are still saying, well, maybe he should draft the next quarter. Right. Oh, whatever. Yeah. All right, so
maybe another 10 years, Douglas will figure it out.
So I find it interesting to be, so married to one thought, and then you now saying that one game would change your opinion.
Because
why?
Because of how bad the Carolina Panthers are. You cannot lose to this team. Like,
but the Giants are bad. It's like the Giants are good. Giants are bad.
They're not that bad. Like, and you look at the rest of the Giants' schedule.
Yeah.
This is the one, like, all right, Colts end of the year, they should win that game.
Mm.
But there's not another game. Falcons, Eagles, Ravens, at home against the Saints. They should win that game. But if they, by the way, actually that one might even be, because they'll probably lose to the Bucs, you would think.
I think Tampa. I like
right,
Tampa.
But then if they lose to the Saints, they're going to go winless at, the Colts game. There's a chance. I mean, look, they can't go winless at home, obviously.
They're 0-5.
Point is, this is the worst opponent that they will play the rest of the way.
I agree with that.
Okay, so that's why. Like, you cannot lose to a team that is clearly the worst opponent you will be facing.
What if they lose 2017, field goal, 36 seconds left?
A loss is a loss. I don't care what happens. I don't care how it is.
Okay.
If they lose this game, then everything should be under question to me. And then I would evaluate them.
See, to me, that's where you lose me a little bit. Because if you lose on a, like a bad cold or a trick play.
But that's what's been going on all year long with them. I can't do it anymore.
No, I get that. I do. I do get that. And I've always respected your position with Dable.
Right.
I wish I felt that as strongly as you do, because I do believe on some level, not as deeply as Sal, that Dable really could be great.
Right.
But like the Giants, they're not good. We ask Casillas, hey, name five or six guys that you absolutely fielded yesterday on the show. He was amazing. Free Odyssey app, hit rewind. He's the best. And I said, give us five or six guys that you absolutely have to move forward with in the future with. And he gave us five good names. But after that, it's slim pickings, meaning they're not that good. So, like, if they lose on a fluke play or a 55-yard field goal at the gun, I don't know why your confidence would be so radical. I do and I don't. Like, so radically flip over a three-point loss.
It's not. My belief in Dable will remain the same.
Okay.
But still, part of that belief is thinking he's a good head coach. You gotta beat the teams that you're better than. And this is clearly a team that I don't even care how bad the Giants are. They're better than Carolina. But I guess my belief is not going to change in Dable. But the idea that he can't be fired or on the hot seat if they lose this game, I think that's where it changes. I'm not saying I would, but that would be the difference for me. Lawrence is calling from Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
The Giants have been frustrating me so much this year because
the lack of discipline, the lack of tackling in the open field, and just lazy play translating on camera. And that's not what Dable was all about when he got here. It was about a solid core and fundamental football. And if they're going to be lazy and not play well, it's not a matter of if they lose this game. It's cumulative. Sal, he's got to go if they lose this game, bro. You're 2-7 again, and you lose to the Panthers. Where's the accountability?
See, that's you're right. That's the and thank you for the call, Lawrence. How can I combat that, BT? That's my point. Like, I still believe in Dable. I'm saying that at 2-7. How could I possibly say that and be taken seriously at 2-8 if they lose to the Panthers? At my core, do I still believe in him? I do, but the record is what it is.
Eventually, the rope is going to start fraying. Well, that's why I asked you, and I was just checking out the spread. Yeah, the Giants are 6.5-point favorites.
They're going to smash them. I really do think they're going to smash them.
6.5. Yeah, I mean,
And that has gone up. I think they were 4.5 earlier in the week.
Is that true?
I think.
So Hoff went to Germany and put a lot of money on the Giants there, late Giant money coming in. I think that even if they win the game, now I know with Dak out and Dallas a mess, like I still think, unfortunately, there's more opportunities, even with a win this weekend, for the Giants to look bad, whether it's empty seats at MetLife or winless at MetLife or get destroyed on Thanksgiving. Well, like,
the MetLife thing is huge. This is a major first checkpoint here to saving this regime.
I get down with that.
Beat the Panthers, next one's going to be Thanksgiving, not to get embarrassed by a bad Cowboys team.
Okay.
But even if they do, more importantly, at home. And they have home games against the Bucs before that.
Tough one.
Yeah, right. I'm kind of overlooking that because I don't think they're going to win that game. Mm-hmm. But the Saints.
Tough one. Good defense. Derek Carr's healthy. I know that they fired Allen, but not easy. Ravens are tremendous.
And then the Colts.
Like, I mean, we'll see what the Colts are playing for. Beatable, but
for me, at home, minimum they have to win one.
Yeah.
But ideally, you'd like to see them somehow get two wins here. Like, why are we talking like it's impossible for a football team to win a game? Like, upsets
happen. Because so far it has been. They haven't won one. They're 0-5.
I know, but think about how pathetic that is. They barely scored touchdowns. It feels like it's an impossibility.
Oh, God, it's been rough.
And we have huge football Sunday, of course, two different reasons. You know, the Giants need to win that game to kind of, I don't know if I would even say stabilize things, but just avoid complete embarrassment and having everything on the table. You know what's going to happen. I mean, we could talk about it now. We could talk about it last week or a month ago when it could come up. Monday morning, if the Giants lose that game, everybody's going to be calling saying, fire Dable, fire Shane, new regime, here we go again.
Yep.
They cannot. Now, it doesn't, again, my opinion, public opinion, whatever, it does to me not eliminate the thought from the public about even if they win this game, it doesn't mean that they're safe. In my mind, it at least, you know, calms things down a little bit.
For now.
Yeah.
For now.
And I still do believe in them, so I wouldn't make a change. But my goodness, I mean, they have to win. They have to give us something to hold on to and pray. Hey, look, well, at least you beat Carolina on this day.
Yeah.
And then maybe from that they can build on it and win some of these home games that they have the rest of the way.
I'd be lying if I'm not sitting here watching much of the Carolina Panthers. Yep. I know that their young quarter, Bryce Young, got back on, whatever, played pretty well. But
they stink.
For the Giants to be favored by nearly 7 over anybody tells you how bad this team is.
That's exactly right. And for your Jets, we talked about it, there is a path for the Jets to be a postseason team. It all goes through Arizona. And it's not because they have to win every game. They don't have to win every game. But because of the way the rest of the schedule is, they already have some games that you probably are going to count up for a loss. They cannot lose this game. Coming off the win, they have to build some momentum here to realistically keep some hope alive. Michael is calling from Lancaster, PA. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. You guys are the best on the radio every day, all day. I'm a huge Jets fan. I'm so disappointed in the way the season turned out. We were talking about Super Bowl contending team, 11-6, 10-7, and look where we are now. And it's like playoffs to me, even if they go to the playoffs, what difference does it make? This team is built, it's an all-star team, and they need to hire next year, because this year, what difference does it make if they make the playoffs, win one game, or lose on the road?
Can I tell you why I think it does make a little difference? Can I tell you why, Mike?
Sure.
Now, based on the big picture expectation, it's a pebble in the beach. But they're trying to establish a culture. And Garrett Wilson's yet to play a playoff game. Same with Sauce. Same with Vera Tucker. I know he's hurt now, but you got to look at the younger players on the team, but eventually they've got to learn what it feels like to have some success. Even if they squeeze in at 9-8, and even if they go to, I don't know, Arrowhead or up to Buffalo on the Wildcat, whatever, and they get blitzed. I mean, nobody's throwing a parade from our end, but you don't think that that's going to resonate a little bit more in the building? I think that it will. So that's where the value is, Sal.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why?
Because, oh, see, I think there's value in different ways. First of all, they're all in with Rodgers, who likely is going to be back again next year. The organization itself is a mess. So I get what Mike was saying there, where you want to just hire somebody that's going to come in, you know, program builder. We talked about it with Harbaugh. Obviously, they didn't do that. Okay, let's save that for another day. Right now, we're in season. And he's right. No matter what, it's going to be disappointing. Most likely. I mean, you never know. You get in the postseason.
Yeah, I got you.
But based on the expectation, it's like, yeah, make the playoffs, whatever. I kind of felt like that with the Mets to a certain extent until they actually did it, and then you had fun. That, to me, is the point where, hey, we're sports fans here. This is fun. This is supposed to be an escape. I like the fact that we have two meaningful football games on Sunday. I'm looking forward to the Giants in Germany taking on the Panthers.
Yep.
And the game otherwise means nothing. I'm actually looking forward to it because it does mean something big picture for the Giants and the storyline that we follow. For the Jets, it means something this season. Like, you as a Jets fan, I feel like, are doing yourself a disservice. And I know you've been beaten over the head a million times over. Nobody has to tell it.
Somehow I'm still here.
Exactly. Unkillable.
That's right.
We all know about that. Right. But you're doing yourself a disservice if you can't be like, all right, well, you know what? If we win this game, this is a big game. If we win this game, there is a path.
Mm-hmm.
That's what being a fan's about, having hope. Maybe a little delusional nature to your fan, whatever it may be.
Scripted in before.
Yeah. So
I've leaned into that as well.
Don't look at big picture.
Uh-huh. And
right now, try to hone in on this game matters.
Yeah.
Whether you, like, the realistic, whether we think it does or somebody else doesn't, it actually does matter. They can win this game, and there is a path to get back to 500 and become relevant. And all I want, personally, is games that matter to watch.
Well, let's hit rewind a little bit and go back to Thursday.
Yeah.
And we're texting each other, and you're like, dude, I'm not even watching. Honestly, I'm going to say, did you jump into the Penguins or Sopranos? I forgot what you jumped into.
Both, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
And I texted him back. I'm like, I'm jealous. I wish I could tap out and watch the Penguin because I was an episode behind, but I couldn't because I had the podcast,
right, which
I do live after every game. You guys can find it anywhere. And I had to watch the game. I sat down. Now, you guys can't see me unless it's, you know, on Twitch, whatever. I'm sitting there like this. The kids were out trick-or-treating. I had a million things going on that day. A couple of interviews, so I didn't go with them. My wife was with them. I'm home alone. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't even want to watch this game. I was exhausted from all the late nights with the Yankees. Like, it was the end of it, and the Mets before that. I was shot, and I really didn't even want to watch the game. So that was then. Now we're here. They won. All right. The Ravens beat the Bengals last night. I want everybody to, for a moment, very quickly, fast forward to 10:55 next Friday.
Right.
Just imagine, don't know if it's going to happen, but just imagine if the Jets win, and it's a pick'em game, so certainly they have a really good chance to do that, and the Colts lose. The Colts are playing the Bills this weekend. They will not beat Buffalo.
Right, they're going to lose that game.
Which means the Colts will be 4-6, and the Jets will be 4-6. And oh, yeah, by the way, then they play here next week.
Bingo, and we got a game to watch.
At least I'm giving you something like tangible. It's not like they got to win six straight. Like, the standings are going in there. It's crazy how it's kind of unfolding a little bit.
Watching football games should not be work. For us as sports fans, I'm not just talking about you and I as talk show hosts. I'm talking about everybody. It should not be work. You should not be like, hey, you know what? I'd rather go spend time with my wife and kids and go do this or that or watch
this
show.
But it's been like that mostly for the last, with both teams, for a decade.
I know. I can't take it anymore, which is why a Sunday like this, even though the records are awful, I'm excited for it. I want to watch the Giants and the Panthers, and then I really want to watch the Jets at 4. Like, that's... I'm into it. These games matter. I want another one after that. I want the Jets to win, so there's another game. You're right, the build-up. Hey, 4-6, now they're playing the Colts. Now they have a chance to have the tiebreaker, beat them, knock them back. And here we go. Then the Seahawks come in. All of a sudden, it starts to become a story that builds momentum. 6-6, potentially. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, we look at some games and say, well, 6-2, you give them 2 losses. No guarantee they're going to lose those games. Maybe they beat Miami in Miami.
I know. Hey, I'll tell you this. You know, for most of the past decade or so, I go to my place where I get my Sunday food and I shuffle in. I even stopped wearing my Jets hoodie at this point. I really have. I shuffle in. I'm already the Jets before the game. I'm like, hey, what's going on, Mike? Roast beef, mozzarella, roast the red pepper. But when things are just like very blankly given the order, very rotely, because I know what I'm going to. Now it's like, hey, Mike, what's going on? Hey, we got chances. Roast beef, thin, please, a little extra mozzarella. Like, right. It's so different. Like, there's a chance to be happy. Like, your point about enjoying these games, it's been lost on us for so long. We've had, not just our show, this station has had more conversations of, should the Giants tank, should the Jets tank to get this guy, to get this coach. This is a weekend where you can actually watch football, unless you're a Giants fan, and I do think there's some of them pertaining to this game that don't want to win because they want the higher draft choice, which I also get, and maybe we could tap into that a bit later. But really, most of these games up until now, it's been checkout time, and you do it because it's tradition, and you almost feel like you have to. This weekend, there's a little more bounce in the step.
Yeah, and especially,
there really is.
Especially coming off the baseball run that we had, all those games that mattered and enjoyable. I just want to watch some football games that matter. And this Sunday, we have two of them.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.